your Bibles, and we'll start in Psalm 71. It has nothing to do with our message, but it has to do with me being here. I just celebrated my 68th birthday last week, April 19th, and about 4 years ago, I really believed that the Lord was maybe moving me on from all the responsibilities that I had at West Coast Baptist College. I was the dean of students. I was the student activities director. I taught 7 classes. I was one of the vice presidents, and I traveled almost every weekend. And my wife said, it is unsustainable. And that it was. But not only was it unsustainable, I don't think it was what the Lord wanted me to do my twilight years of my life. And so I began to ask God what he would have for me. And God gave me a passage of scripture. And this passage has been my prayer. I believe it will be my prayer till the day I die. And there's 3 words that the Lord has really laid on my heart for my ministry: encouragement, equipping, and evangelizing. And then when people ask me, they say, Brother Sheller, what can we pray for you about? Well, I give them a little alliterated outline, but it's more than alliteration. It is my heart's desire. So when someone comes up and I really sense they really mean it, they said, Brother Sheller, what can we pray for you about? I say, there's 3 things I want you to pray for me about. Number 1, my priorities. I'm going to come back to that in just a minute. Number 2, my purity, because I travel by myself, and the Holy Spirit. And number 3, power. I want God's power. I want to stay pure, and I want to know priorities. Now, I want to talk to you about priorities for a minute. I don't know where to go. I really don't. I get a lot of invitations every week. And I've never been like, oh, it's got to be a big church or anything like that. Never been that way. But at some point, you got to make decisions about priorities. I want to tell you why I'm here this week. I'm here this week because of the philosophy and the heart of that man. If I'm going to choose a week to minister, and I'm going to let them use me every way that they can, which they are, I want to make sure it's going to take root. It's going to be fruit that remains to a group of people. And I want you to know, you all do have an incredible spirit. But that's because of this philosophy and the heart of this place. I actually, when we were out for a lunch with a pastor and his wife, we got to talking, and I think I'm the one that even suggested it. I said, I'd love to come for a week and be able to teach one of my classes and to be with your college students at the end of the, and Pastor jumped on that. This is the kind of place I want to be. I don't know how many days I have left. So it is imperative that my priorities of my choices of where I go are, to me, are very, very big. And I believe I made the right decision this week in being here with all of you as well, and being with the church. I just absolutely love this church as well. So understand that. So here's my passage I got about 4 years ago. I was in Lancaster, and I don't remember, it wasn't in my devotions, but I don't know how, but I came across this passage. Look at verse number 9 of Psalm 71. Cast me not off in time of, everyone together. Yeah, that's nothing to do with you guys at all, but it does have to do with me, okay? And I really, you know what? You guys can't relate to this right now, but when you get in your 60s, you'll go like, wow, Lord, cast me not off in time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. And all my strength is failing. It's just unbelievable. I have had, now you say, Brother Sheller, I've seen you preach. You got as much energy as you've ever had. But you know what? It doesn't last nearly as long. I'm telling you. I mean, when I preach, I do think I have the energy that I had when I was in my 30s and 40s. But I will tell you, I mean, my stamina, just it doesn't remain. And it's just like, oh, I am so wiped out. So when that happens, Lord, don't forsake me. But then it gets better. Verse 12, oh God, be not far from me. Oh my God, make haste for my help. And boy, do I see that. Look at verse 14. But I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness. I call that equipping and encouraging and evangelizing. And thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof, and I don't. Now watch this. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. Now this is interesting. It is so easy at your age to go on the strength of youth, but you don't want that. I wish I could have learned that earlier. But in your 60s, you don't go on the strength of old age. Let me tell you, you got to have God. You got to have God. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. Oh God, thou hast taught me from my youth. Trusted Christ when I was 12. I went to Bible college at 18. And I will tell you, I have been taught by godly men and women. I've had great examples all over my life. Oh God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. And when I read verse 18, I said, God, this is my prayer for the rest of my life. Now, also, when I am old and gray-headed, oh God, forsake me not. Until I have showed thy strength unto this generation. That's you guys, okay? And thy power to everyone that is to come. And I said, God, that's what I want to do the rest of my life. Man, Lord, would you allow me to see that prayer answered in this generation? And I am going to tell you, I've been preaching for 47 years. I have never had a generation of young people that have received the word greater than right now. I don't go to a camp. I don't do a youth conference. I just did a youth conference in Durham, North Carolina this past weekend. The altars were flooded with young people in tears, just making decisions, surrendering to God. I have never seen a generation of young people that has wanted to receive the word greater than right now. However, this is also my introduction to what I'm going to preach on. There has been one area that I have seen about this generation that lacks. The heart is there. I really believe we could see a revival like we have never seen before. And I believe that the election in November has given us a space of grace that we have an opportunity to see a little reviving and to see God still work in our country. And I believe he's preparing a generation. But there is one thing, college students, and I say it respectfully, but it is something that I absolutely notice. There is a lack of discernment in this youth generation. Now, you guys are in a great place, but I'm telling you, overall, your hearts are tender, but you lack biblical, spiritual discernment on how to make decisions. So today, the title of my message is Spiritual Discernment. We're going to define it, we're going to desire it, and we're going to learn how to develop it. So take your Bibles and turn to 1 Chronicles chapter number 12. And this is really our text. 1 Chronicles chapter number 12. And it's such a great verse. Let's all stand for the reading of this verse. 1 Chronicles chapter 12. And I'm going to read verse 32. And then we're going to read it out loud together. All right? This is a great verse. By the way, if you've ever read through the Bible, like in a year or whatever, and a lot of people say, well, when do you really want to kind of like stop where it's just really hard? A lot of people say Deuteronomy or Leviticus or what. No. I'll tell you where the passage is that you just say, okay, I'm done. It's 1 Chronicles. Wow. I mean, the first 12 chapters of 1 Chronicles, I have a really hard time pronouncing names. And all it is a bunch of names. You got this little oasis of a guy named Jabez, okay? You got about three verses on I love that guy. I mean, it's like, oh, wow, a little narrative here, you know? I mean, it's rough. And then there's one other. And I'm telling you, this should be your prayer for all of you as a student body. 1 Chronicles 12:32. I'll read it, and then we'll read it out loud together. And of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. The heads of them were 200. And watch this, because every one of you should aspire for this. And all their brethren were at their commandment. Why? Because they had discernment. So when you have spiritual discernment, people will listen to you. It doesn't matter about your age. It matters about your discernment. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter what gender you are. Discernment, people will follow. People will follow. Everyone together, 1 Chronicles 12:32, we'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll get into spiritual discernment. Everyone together, 1 Chronicles 12:32. And of the
children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do, the heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandment.
Father, I pray that this student body would understand what discernment is, would desire it, and then, Lord, may they begin to put in their life the development of spiritual discernment. Father, do today what I cannot, and I believe I've got the hearts of those, I think, a generation of Issachar in this room. God, may they understand the times to know what the church needs to be and do. So God, we dedicate this time to you now in Jesus' name. And God's Issachars said,
amen.
You may be seated. Spiritual discernment defined. So I don't know if you take notes in chapel or not. And if you only do take one note, this is the note I want you to take. The definition of spiritual discernment. Are you ready? Spiritual discernment. The divine skill of separating God's ways from man's ways. Let me give you that again. The divine skill of separating God's ways from man's ways. When you're able to take an issue, when you're able to come to a point of decision, and you're able to have the divine skill of saying, this is what God's thinking, this is what God wants, this is God's way, this is man's way. When you're able to take an issue and separate it, you at that point have spiritual discernment. Take your Bibles now and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. I'm going to begin reading at verse number 6, 1 Corinthians 2 and verse number 6. It's a great passage. Howbeit, we speak, if you're there, what's the next word? We speak wisdom. Otherwise, Greek word, Sophia. Do we have any Sophias here today? We got one. All right. There's the wise girl in the back there. Okay. Howbeit, we speak Sophia. Now, Brother Shuttler, what does that word mean? That's really interesting. The word wisdom here is not just knowledge. The word wisdom is the knowledge of truth skillfully applied. So it isn't that you just know something, you know how to skillfully use the knowledge that you have. And that is Sophia. Now watch this. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, complete, telestiae, mature, they got maturity. We're going to come to that word at the very end of the message. Among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. Well, now immediately we notice something. Brother Shelley, that's a different Greek word there, isn't it? No, that's Sophia too. You say, well, yeah, but that's the wisdom of the world. Well, there can definitely definitely be a knowledge that is skillfully used. All right, so back in Pensacola, Florida, I have a man. His name is Dr. Kevin Schottmeyer. He's my primary care doctor. And let me tell you something about Dr. Schottmeyer. By the way, he was a student of mine, and I was his pastor for a while when I was pastoring the campus here. He's a graduate of PCC, and he's my primary care doctor. And I can go into the office, and he'll take this thing called a stethoscope, and he'll put it on my chest, and he'll say, "Pastor, take a deep breath." Oh, what? And he'll put it on my back, and he said, "Cough." What? He has the skill of discerning the way I breathe and can know there's some congestion. You got something going on here. He has medical discernment to separate. Hey, something's going on. Something's going on. I have a dentist, also a graduate of PCC. I really like my dentist, Elias Gonzalez, Dr. Gonzalez. He was in the Navy. He was a Navy dentist, and now he's got his own practice. He does all my dental work free. I like that one. I married him and Eleni and years ago, and he's my dentist. He does a great job, and he starts poking around, and he goes, he's got great discernment. He has a skill of knowledge. Man, I've had to have a tooth extracted. He's had to do this. I had to have some work done, a dental. I mean, he's discerning. Hey, I got another guy. No, he didn't go to PCC. He's my mechanic. His name is Brandon. And in October, I got to lead him to Jesus Christ. My mechanic got saved. But let me tell you about Brandon. Oh, man. He doesn't have much spiritual discernment. But whoa. I can drive in my Toyota Highlander. I can drive in my Honda CRV. I can drive in my Toyota Camry. And as soon as I pull in, Brandon can come out and say, "Hey, Jim, your belt's loose." "Oh, no, it's okay." No, my belt's fine." "No, your belt's loose." "Oh, my belt's loose. Oh, how can you know that? You haven't even opened up the hood." He said, "I can hear it." He's got great mechanical, help me out, discernment. So you can have Sophia in different areas. You can have wisdom in different areas. There is a wisdom of this world that isn't necessarily evil or bad. I praise God for doctors, dentists, and mechanics that have discernment. But watch this now. Verse 7. "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew." Listen, do you understand that you are being trained to have a discernment and a wisdom in a spiritually that this world does not understand at all? "For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." Now watch this. "But as it is written," if you want to know where that's written, that's Isaiah 64, verse 4. "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him." Well, Brother Shuttler, there you go. There's your verse right there. I mean, there's just going to be things we're not going to know that they, you know, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard. There's things that we are just not going to know because only God can know them. Read the next verse. "But God hath revealed them unto," everyone together, "us by his," everyone together, "Spirit." What is my definition of discernment? The divine skill of separating God's ways from man's ways. Let me tell you about the spiritual discernment I'm preaching about today. Is not acquired by man. You cannot go to any state university and get the discernment that I'm talking about today. The only way to get the discernment that I'm talking about today is from the Holy Spirit. It is God himself that will give you this discernment, but God hath revealed them unto us. Now look down to verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, no, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing, here it is, man, this is it. This is spiritual discernment, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Okay, now listen to this. Man, more and more, I'm watching news less and less because I guess I get so upset. And it doesn't matter what, it doesn't have to be CNN or MSNBC, and it can be Fox. It doesn't matter. I get so upset. I go, oh, you stupid people. Where is your mind? Have you no discernment at all? Can't you understand? And I got to tell you something, Pastor. I'm getting upset with the wrong people. Natural man will always be natural man. Natural man, students, will never be able to separate God's ways from man's ways. Natural man, it's foolishness unto them. There is no way that a natural man will ever have spiritual discernment. They may have some, but we're hearing a lot about this. They may have common sense, but common sense is not necessarily spiritual discernment. No, I'm thankful for, we could use some common sense, but that's the best natural man is ever going to have. Only you that have the Holy Spirit can have spiritual discernment. So I thought to myself, you know, Lord, I get so mad at all these liberals and all these ideas. I just get, but you know what? They're just being what they are. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually, everyone together, discerned. Now look at verse 15. But he that is spiritual judgeth a few things. Amen? Okay, I know. But he that is spiritual judges some things. Amen? But he that is spiritual judges everyone together.
All
things. Yet he himself is judged by no man. Oh, Brother Scheller, you were doing good until this point. Brother Scheller, you know, the Bible does say, judge not, lest thou be judged. We are not supposed to be judging people, and we're not supposed to be judging things. Well, maybe you better go back to the Sermon on the Mount and read the other verses that are around that verse. Because here's what Jesus says. Judge not, lest thou be judged. But here's the context. You get the beam out of your own eye before you're going to pick out someone else's fault in their life. You make sure, but once you do that, then you go to your brother and then you show them where they've done wrong. But if you don't have the beam out of your eye, don't be going to somebody else and judging them. Let me tell you something. The spiritual person judges all things. Now, there is one thing you got to be careful with about judging. You don't judge people's motives. Okay, so I can go to a camp and I can look at teenagers coming off a bus and I can say, rebellious, bitter, spiritual. I can see that. You say, well, that's pretty judgmental there. You know what? Now listen to me. I can look at a young person and go, they're struggling with bitterness, man. It's all over their face. They're struggling with rebellion. Now, what I don't know is why. I don't know why they're rebellious. I don't know what's going on in their life. I can't judge that. But I can judge all things. I can look at somebody and go like, yeah, that is not what you wear. That is not what you wear in public. I can make that judgment. I don't know why they have that on, but I can judge that's not right. And ye which are spiritual, it's got to discern. Children of Issachar, you got to start making discerning spiritual decisions. Look what it says. I just love that. We judge all things. Look at verse 16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Yeah, who knows the mind of the Lord? Look, that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. We can do this. What is discernment, Brother Shetler? The divine, Holy Spirit only, the divine skill, and it is a skill, and you all need to be learning this skill. The divine skill of separating God's ways from man's ways. Spiritual discernment defined. Number two, spiritual discernment desired. Now this is, I just love this. This is my favorite point. It's not the most important point. That's the last one. But this is my favorite point. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Kings chapter 3. And as you turn into 1 Kings chapter 3, I have a question for you. So there's a young man that is now going to follow his father as the king of Israel. He's going to be the third king of Israel. And he's going to follow his father, David. And that's a pretty tough shoes to follow in. And he knows, man, I got to tell you, I cannot do this without God's help. I know what my dad had, and I know that God was all over my dad, and I'm going to need that too. So I want to let God know that I need help. So I'm going to sacrifice 1,000 animals to let God know. I mean business. God, you got to help me. So who am I talking about? Solomon. So Solomon makes 1,000 sacrifices of animals, and God is like, amen, that's good. You really mean business, don't you? And the Lord is very pleased by the sacrifices that Solomon makes for what he wants. So God says to him, look at verse number 5, at the very end of verse 5, ask what I shall give thee. So everyone together, student body, here we go, Baptist School of Ministry. Everyone together, out loud, what did Solomon ask for? No, he didn't. Oh, no, Brother Scheller, he asked for wisdom. That's what Solomon, no, he did not. Let's see what he asked for. Look at verse 7. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my father, and I am but a little child, and I don't know how to go out and come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Are you ready? Give therefore thy servant and everyone together. What's the next word? Understanding heart. Okay, Brother Scheller. Okay, you want to be picky. Understanding heart, wisdom, same thing. Well, maybe not. Let me tell you the Hebrew word for understanding there. It is extremely interesting. The Hebrew word for understanding there is the word shema. Shema. Okay, everyone together, what's your Hebrew word today?
Shema.
Look at the person next to you and say,
shema.
Shema. Now, this is a very interesting word. Matter of fact, the highest, holiest passage of Scripture in the Torah to any Jewish person, and the very first passage of Scripture that every Jew child learns is the Shema, found in Deuteronomy chapter 6. And here's how it starts. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God. The word hear is the word, everyone together, is the word
Shema.
Shema. Now, this is very interesting. There's several different words in Hebrew for hear, but this is the one to hear, to listen, to hear, to obey. Do you know what Solomon asked for? Well, he asked for discernment, okay? No. He asked, God, give me a Shema heart that I may hear from you every day, so I will know how to go out and I will know how to come in. Now, this is classic because we all know how Solomon ends up in life, correct? We all know that, yeah, he's not that wise at the end of his life. He never asked for wisdom. Solomon asked for a Shema heart. God, may I hear from you? Because if I'm hearing from you, I will know how to separate God's ways from man's ways if I hear from you every day. And I just want to tell you something, college student. There is no greater prayer that you ought to pray as you go into ministry and as you go the rest of your life, every day of your life. Dear God, give me a Shema heart that I may hear from you. because there isn't anything you need greater than to hear from God every day of your life. And when Solomon stopped hearing from God, he lost his discernment and his wisdom. The key was what he asked for. God, give me a Shema heart. Now, there are so many cool words in this passage. Look at what, we go all over the map here. Give therefore thy servant a Shema heart to judge thy people that I may discern between good and bad. There's my definition of discernment right there. That I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, hey, because thou hast asked this thing, that you would hear from me every day and have a Shema heart, and hast not asked for thyself long life or riches for thyself, nor have asked life in thine or life of thine enemies, but it asked for thyself an understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. I don't know of many ministries that have put the proper emphasis on prayer as they have here at Falls Baptist in your college. But can I say something extremely transparent to you? More than you talking to God, you need to make sure God is talking to you. And I'm telling you, before I pray in my mornings, I always study the Word first. I always let God speak to me before I speak to Him. And I will tell you, students, there is no greater need in Christianity in America today than a heart that hears from God. So that we got all these issues going on in our culture. How will you know what is God's way and what is man's way? The only way that you will know that is by discernment and hearing from God. Spiritual discernment defined. Spiritual discernment desired. That's what he desired. But number three, because it's going to be the key. Spiritual discernment developed. Spiritual discernment developed. Okay, so you got your Bibles? Everyone get your Bibles up. Have a little sword drill here. Get your Bibles up. You all ready? All right, here we go. I say it. You immediately turn to it. First one who stands up, we got a gift card. Here we go. You ready? 1 Berea chapter 2, verse 3. Go. 1 Berea chapter 3, chapter 2, verse 3. Anyone got it? 1 Berea chapter 2, verse 3. Nobody's got it? And with the Book of Mormon, go ahead, my brother. Yeah, you don't have it. Okay. Why doesn't he have it? And why couldn't you find it? There what? There is no Book of Berea. Oh, wait a second. Is there a book on Thessalonians? Colossians? If I said Galatians? If I said Corinthians? You could turn to all those books. Why can't you turn to the Book of Berea? Well, Paul didn't write the Book of Berea. He didn't write to that church. Did he not like that church? Why isn't there a book? There's a book to Philippians, there's Ephesians, there's Colossians. Why isn't there a book to the Bereans? And you know why? They didn't need an epistle written to them. And you know why they didn't need an epistle written to them? They had what, everyone together? Discernment. They had discernment. Take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 17. Is that what you were turning to? Were you turning to Acts 17 in the back? Yes, sir. Okay. What were you going to read? That's what I want to know. I didn't hear what he said.
1 Thessalonians 2:13.
Oh. Oh, okay. Well, that's not the Book of Berea, okay. Let's turn to Acts chapter 17. Let's turn to Acts chapter 17, because this church did exist. But I want you to see something about this church. Acts chapter 17, look at verse 10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea. But there's no epistle written to Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now, let me tell you something. You're not going to need an epistle written to you by Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit if you do this. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica. In that day, everyone together, in that day, receive the word with all readiness of mind and search the scriptures. When? Daily. Whether those things were so. Therefore, many of them believed. All right, Brother Shutter, how do you develop spiritual discernment? This is really interesting. I don't know if I've ever heard a message on discernment before. The divine skill of separating God's ways from man's ways. I desire this. I want to have a Shema heart. So how is this going to get developed? Number one, you receive the word willingly and eagerly. Every time you hear the word. Now, if you're going to this college, you're hearing the word in every class. It doesn't matter what class you take. You could be taking music theory, but you're going to hear God's word, aren't you? And you have to, every time the word of God is given, you need to have a willing and an eager, like, ooh, that's God's word. Ooh, that's God's word. Ooh, that's the word of God. If you're going to develop discernment, you've got to receive the word willingly and eagerly. Number two, you got to listen to counsel, godly counsel. One of the, who's graduating? Where's our graduates? Lord willing, I understand, don't worry. But stand up if you're a graduate. Stand up if you're a graduate. Lord willing, I understand. Okay, you're not standing presumptuously. Lord willing. Okay. All right. Let me tell you guys something. Just stay standing for just a second. There are many blessings from growing from this college. Can I tell you one of them? Your professors, your instructors, that you get the rest of your life. You are a foolish graduate. You are a foolish graduate not to use this place in the days, in the years ahead. That you call back and say, hey man, Pastor, I got a question now. Brother Jim, I got something I want to ask you. Let me tell you one of the cool things about graduating with a place like this, you get the faculty and staff for the rest of your lives. Take use and advantage of that. One of the things I love is when my students text me or call me after they graduate. And they said, Dr. Scheller, I got a question about youth, or I got a question about this, or I got a question about, you preached a message on this, and I wanted to know more. I love that. Let me tell you all something. You guys have a great resource here. Listen, thank you. Maybe seated. Listen to Proverbs 13:20. This is so important in getting discernment. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. It is so important to continue to surround yourself with wise, discerning people. And when you come across a godly, discerning woman or man, boy, you want to make sure you continue to tap into that. Receive the word willingly and eagerly. Listen to godly counsel. We got to get going. Number three, get into the word daily. Now, there's two things you need to do when you get into God's word daily. Number one, define words. Every day you study the Bible, you ought to define a word. You ought to look up a word. You ought to define a word. I define words all the time. I never read and study the scriptures in the morning that I do not define 2, 3, 4 words. I'm always looking up words. I'm always defining words. The definitions of words are the key to understanding a passage. Every day in your devotions, you ought to find a word and go like, what does that word mean? And I'm going to tell you something. When you communicate to other people, definitions of words are huge and for them to understand. This whole message is on the premise of my definition of discernment. By the way, let's all say the definition together. Let's see if anyone got it. Okay, so here we go. What is discernment? The You know what? That is one of the great goals that I have in preaching this message today, is that you leave with a definition. When you study God's word, always define words. Number two, don't you ever have your time alone with God that you do not have a takeaway. Every day of your life, you take something away from the scripture. I don't care how much you read. I just care that you have a takeaway from the scriptures when you leave it. Every day of your life, you get a truth. They go, oh, this is good. I need this today. This is a good one today. This is my takeaway. And you always have a takeaway. So get into the word daily. And last thing, and we're done. Take your Bibles quickly and go to the most important passage in the entire Bible on discernment. Hebrews chapter 5. If I only had one passage to give, Brother Shelley, you got 4-5 minutes to give it. I know. If I only had one passage to give, this would be it. Are you ready? Hebrews chapter 5. I'm going to start reading at verse 11. Get there because I need your help. Of whom we have many things to say. Ooh, what we'd love to preach. Ooh, what we'd love to tell. But hard to be uttered. Seeing ye are, everyone together, dull. Look at the person next to you. No, don't do that. Seeing ye are dull of hearing. Let me tell you what that word dull. Lazy, sluggish, slothful. It's found in chapter 6, verse 12. Lazy, sluggish, slothful, dull of hearing. Oh, I go to some of these churches and I go, oh, I know the message I want to preach here, but I know the message I have to preach here because they are dull of hearing. They can't, they got to have milk. If I throw that meat out, they will choke to death. I do thank God that I can come to a place like this and throw some meat out to people. But anyway, so dull of hearing. Now look at verse 12. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, come on, ye have need that one teach you, everyone together, teach you again. Ooh, we have to go and teach the same things over and over again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. We can't ever get to any meat. We can't get to the good stuff because you're still babes and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Now watch this. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. They don't have discernment, for he is a babe. Let me tell you what babies do not have. I have four grandsons. They do not have discernment at all. They're babes. Look at verse 14. Here it is. But strong meat, students, belongeth to them that are of, everyone together, what are the next two words? Are of what?
Full age.
Complete, mature, perfect, whole. They're mature. They're of full age. People that have biblical discernment are mature. They have a spiritual heart and they can discern right from wrong. Whoa, oh man, what a passage. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of mature, perfect, complete, whole, full age. Even those who by reason of, and I want a good one, student, reason of,
use.
That was terrible. Reason of,
use.
Have their senses, everyone together,
exercise.
Who knows the Greek word? You do. Every one of you in this room know this Greek word. Someone raise their hand, tell me the Greek word. Everyone in this room knows this Greek word. Exercise. Anyone know what it is? Gymnasio. We get the word gymnasium from that word. Exercise. So as we close, let me tell you a story. Fictitious, not true. Let me tell you a story. What if I were to say to you, hey, I am a member of a fitness club. And you look at this and you go, well, Brother Scheller, maybe you ought to go once in a while. And I say, hey, I go 6 days a week. Rest on Sunday. I go 6 days a week. Brother Scheller, you go to a fitness gym 6 days a week? Well, maybe you ought to stay longer than 5 minutes. I get there at 5:30 every morning and I stay till 7. Brother Shetler, you go to a 6 days a week? You go to a fitness gym and you're there for an hour and a half? Yeah. Brother Shetler, what do you do? I walk around. Pardon? I walk around. Yeah, I know, but what machines do you do? Oh, I never touch them. Brother Shetler, you're telling me that you go to a fitness club 6 days a week for an hour and a half. Yes. And all you do is kids walk around the equipment? Yeah. Brother Shaw, can I share this with you? Nothing's going to change until you start using the equipment. Yeah, I know. Let me tell you something. Some of you walk around the Bible every day of your life, but there's no change. You hear this. It is not how much of the Bible you know that matters. It's how much you live and you exercise the Word of God. I could really care less how many verses you got memorized. I want to know how many verses are you living. If we do, and then look at how the passage ends. Oh, is this unbelievable? Look at how the passage ends. But strong meat belonging to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses gymnasioed, exercised to do what? To discern both good and evil. Brother Shetler, how can I get this discernment that you talked about today? Live the truth you do know. And as you live the truth you do know, you will begin to discern things that comes into your life. Gang, you don't need more Bible verses. You need to exercise the ones you do know. And as you do that, you begin to get spiritual discernment. There is a generation in America right now that is ready for revival. But I tell you, there's one lacking thing. They have no discernment. They have no idea what's right and wrong. We need a generation of young adults coming up that have a heart to hear from God every day and get in God's Word and exercise the Word of God every day in your life. And I will tell you, you are the generation that can see revival in America. And it can still happen, but we need spiritual, everyone together, we need spiritual discernment.